Father in heaven, we thank you for your persistent love. Enlighten our minds as we study the plagues and your deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the picture here. During our previous lecture, we looked at the fourth plague. And now we're moving to disaster number five that struck Egypt. God could have delivered his people before any plague. But God is patient. He's waiting upon the hearts of people to respond to his pleadings. Pharaoh's gods did not perform too well. Did he stop worshipping the Nile in the morning? No. During the plagues, Pharaoh was punctual in his superstitious devotion to the river and visited that river every morning. As he stood upon its banks, he offered praise and thanksgiving to the water, recounting the great good it accomplished and telling the water of its great power, that without it they could not exist, for their lands were watered by it, and it supplied meat for their tables. Thank you, Harpy. Thank you for the food. Amen. Every morning. Visiting the Nile, my thoughts went out to this man. He had all the evidences of truth, and yet he rejected it and destroyed Egypt and himself. How do we react to revealed truth? Here we've got to be very careful. You know, we grow to a certain level and we feel now we've got enough truth. But God is more truth. And he's revealing the truth to us. If we stay on that plateau, we'll eventually go down. Please, if you received more truth, accept it. Don't be a stubborn Pharaoh. Fifth plague, livestock dies. 9 verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. What if he ignores God's request to set his people free? For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, we must never hold people in bondage. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. What shift do you notice in this plague? Hitherto the plagues had been directed against the Egyptians themselves and not so much to their property. It may have suffered somewhat under the preceding plague, but otherwise the various affliction had been the cause of little more than annoyance and pain. The hand of God was first laid upon all the domesticated animals. You know, we love our animals. If you've got a dog or a cat, we love them. And they love their animals. Water buffalo are like children to the Egyptians. Can you imagine their mental pain when during the fifth plague, the animals were struck by pestilence? How sacred was the cow to the ancient Egyptians? Hathor was one of the most famous goddesses of ancient Egypt. Here you look at the lady. Known as the Great One of many names. So she had more than one name. Her titles and attributes were so numerous that she was important in every area of life and death of the ancient Egyptians. She was originally a personification of the Milky Way, which was considered to be the milk that flowed from the udders of a heavenly cow. Can you see Pharaoh looking at the Milky Way and asking hot horror why she is destroying her symbols, the animals on earth? You know, what is this God doing to them? If you've been to Egypt, you probably saw in the tombs and temples of the pharaohs, the first one on your left, Hathor. This is what ancient Egyptians saw and what the Israelites saw. She personified principles, listen to this, of love, beauty, music, motherhood, and joy. But now she's going to behave a little different. But why is she killing their cows, which represented her? God was trying to destroy the theological rubbish in the heads of the Egyptians and of the Israelites. I think some of them started to worship some of these deities. We're going to visit the temple of Hathor, looking for traces of Hathor. You climb up these steep mountains, and once you're there, you discover something fantastic. On one of the rock engravings, you look through a telescope, and there you can see what you see on this inscription. This is Ramses III speaking to the god Hathor. Of the three deities found here, Hathor was most prominent. You're looking to a temple of Hathor here at Timnah. She was one of the most important and popular deities throughout the history of ancient Egypt. Hathor was worshipped by royalty and common people alike, in whose tomb she is depicted as Mistress of the West. By the way, all the pharaohs were buried on the western shores of the Nile. Mistress of the West, welcoming the dead into the next life. This was Hathor. Just look at this huge statue of Ramses II at Memphis, Saqqara. Now I want to take you to the Serapeum. Here they watch their prize bulls, symbols of the holy Apis bull, dying of a terrible disease. What's happening to Hathor? Why is she killing the bulls? What has happened to our God, the Apis bull? Why does he allow his symbols to die? Was there an alternative to Egyptian polytheism? Yes, God was calling the Egyptians to meet a kind God. The invisible God is too big to be pictured. The invisible God of love who rules the universe in fairness is a fair God. He knows everything. He's almighty. Horses had been unknown prior to the Hyksos invasion. They do not appear in the list of animals presented to Abram in Genesis 12, 16. During the 18th dynasty, horses seem to have been used chiefly in warfare. Exodus 9, 2 and 3. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. Pharaoh was dependent upon horses during the military campaigns. Now his mighty weapons were dying, one horse after another. What a loss. God was speaking to Pharaoh, my son, give me your heart. He's speaking to you and me every day, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. The camel is called the ship of the desert. They were around when Pharaoh ruled his mighty country. Now his desert ships were dying one by one. Domestication of this animal had taken place long ago. The Bible is true. The Bible mentions them. What happened to the animals of the Israelites? And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. Again, God shows a difference in the plagues that were falling. It's going to be repeated during the seven last plagues as well. How did Pharaoh react to this? So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. He's checking on what Moses was saying. And then the sad words, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Are you resisting, my friend? There's no future in resisting God, only death. Give him your heart and live forever. For the first time, he manifests curiosity regarding the plagues. But in spite of finding the facts, all the animals lived where Israelites stayed. To correspond with Moses' announcement, he was not seriously impressed. In one sense, he seems to have been less moved by this plague than by the others. Apparently, he had suffered no great personal loss, I think so, and the financial loss of his subjects was of little concern to him, sadly. He may have attributed the escape of the animals of the Israelites to a higher knowledge of their owners in regard to animal care, since they were professional shepherds. So he rationalized. Our obdurate hearts always find reasons for things it chooses to believe. You know, we are desperate, desperately wicked. Luther says, simul justus et peccator, meaning at the same time righteous, and at the same time wicked, at the same time saved, and at the same time lost. We need to yield our hearts to God daily. Please read His Word. Bible reading has got a marvelous effect on one's life. How I wish Pharaoh had exchanged his impotent gods for the omnipotent God of the Israelites and of the universe. May God help us to have no other gods in our lives but Him. You know, this is one of the commandments. A more terrible stroke followed, murrain, infectious disease in cattle, upon all the Egyptian cattle that were in the field, both the sacred animals and the beasts of burden, cows and oxen and sheep, horses and camels and asses were destroyed. What a tragedy! It had been distinctly stated that the Hebrews were to be exempt, and Pharaoh, on sending messengers to the home of the Israelites, proved the truth of this declaration of Moses. Of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Still, the king was obstinate. Is God going to give him another chance? Is he going to give you and me another chance on certain issues of life? Boils, the next one. Exodus 9, 8 and 9. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace. This is interesting. And let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. Not only there where Pharaoh stood. And it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. This was very severe. When in pain one thinks seriously, maybe you have experience of this. Do you think by this time Egyptians began switching from polytheism to monotheism? Yes. Yes, it was happening. And God rejoiced. The sixth plague, like the third, came unannounced. This is the pattern that we saw. Although the miracle was to be performed in the presence of the king. Perhaps this occurred as he was on his way to the river for daily rites. He performed there. Oh, Hapi, thank you for a good night's rest. Please, Hapi, protect me through the day. He stayed in the wrong church. The Lord called him, come out of her, my people. But he stayed there. Are you in Babylon? God is calling you to come out. Verse 10. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses scattered them toward heaven. And they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beasts. Can you imagine the plague? Why did they take ashes from a furnace? Where do we read about a furnace in the Bible? This I found very interesting. Let's go to Genesis 15, verse 13 and 14. And he said unto Abram, know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, that's Egypt, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And here we have the judgment. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. I like the Bible. 15 to 17. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again for the iniquity of the Amorites. It is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. This is Hebron, where Abram lived. When Moses took the ashes from the furnace and scattered it to heaven, he pointed to the promise made by God to Abram at Hebron. Moses was next directed to take ashes of the furnace and sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. Just to repeat the story and put some additional thoughts to it. This act was deeply significant. 400 years before, God had shown to Abram the future oppression of his people under the figure of a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. He had declared that he would visit judgments upon their oppressors and would bring forth the captives with great substance. In Egypt, Israel had long languished in the furnace of affliction. Can you see the beautiful symbolism in the sixth plague? This act of Moses was an assurance to them that God was mindful of his covenant and that the time for the deliverance had come. Verses 11 and 12, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. It seems that the magicians had, up to this time, always been present when the miracles were wrought, though they had for some time failed to produce counterfeit miracles. On this occasion, the plague fell on them with such severity that they could not attend the king, but fled to their homes for protection and treatment. As we saw before, the plagues were getting more severe. God was pleading more earnestly. God was showing the false and the true, contrasting them. You know, God never destroys one until there's hope of repentance. As the ashes were sprinkled toward heaven, the fine particles spread over all the land of Egypt, and wherever they settled, produced boils, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. The priests and the magicians had hitherto encouraged Pharaoh in his stubbornness, but now a judgment had come that reached even them. Now it's a different story. Is this plague going to unmask the magicians? Yes. At the time of the end, God is going to unmask the false, so-called followers of him. Smitten with a loathsome and painful disease, their vaunted power only making them contemptible, they were no longer able to contend against the God of Israel. Are they going to repent? The whole nation was made to see the folly of trusting in the magicians because they've got this plague on them, when they were not able to protect even their own persons. God is progressive in revealing truth. How did Pharaoh react after he was admitted to the ICU ward of the local hospital in Avaris? Dear Brother Moses, I'm sorry. At last I see the folly of my ways. Would you please baptize me in the Nile which I previously worshipped in my folly as a god? No. 9 verse 12, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Sad words. He could have been in heaven with Moses, but he refused. We will not get lost one day because of sinning, but because of refusing God to change our lives. How sad. How very, very, very sad. He could have repented, but he allowed his heart to become hardened. Are we resisting God? It's not worth it. Can the tomb of Seti I shed light on this issue? I'm excited. The Egyptian destruction of mankind has this to say. The majesty of Ra that's Pharaoh, said to this goddess, "The burning skin has become painful." Ipuvir el-Arish Setna II, demonic magical papyrus of London, Leiden, Egyptian texts refer to the burning skin, cattle, and plagues. It's there on the stone. The stones are crying out. "I am sick and tired of these revolt people, Israelites. I want them all dead. Everyone last of them. Miahus and Moses will become nothing." The plagues preceding this one affected the environment. This was the first plague that caused harm to the bodies of the Egyptians, severe harm. Though the boils affected all of Egypt, its first signs were seen on Pharaoh and his sorcerers. This is interesting. First on the leaders and afterwards on the subjects. The plague of boils was another declaration of God's power. First, it took but a couple of handfuls soot to cause the spread of boils all over Egypt, a miracle in itself. Secondly, the use of soot to cause boils was an overruling of ordinary laws of nature, as soot was actually used to cure boils. What was God telling the Egyptians? You know, I marvel at the persistent love of God in my own life. He's continually speaking to us, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." The Egyptians looked in vain to their god of medicine, Thoth, to cure them of their boils. This god also disappointed them. God was longing to save them, but they refused. In our next presentation, we are going to study about the seventh plague, a very important lecture. Please do not miss this specific one. Why did God use hail to bring the Egyptians to their senses? Why does a loving God use hail to destroy people at the end of time, the seventh plague, in the book of Revelation? God destroys no man. Man destroys himself through disobedience. Are you busy destroying yourself through disobedience? Ask God to make you an obedient child of His. Father in heaven, we're astonished at your persistent love and efforts to save us. Please help us to yield our lives to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.